T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Bobby Chacon is a former FBI agent, worked in many areas, including the follow-up of the 35W bridge collapse. We recorded an interview before the show. I started the interview asking Bobby, what is the most significant news which has come out since the news on the initial search at Mar-a-Lago?
Well, I think the two biggest things for me, and again, it, whether this is legitimate or not, is not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying the biggest thing for me was that the search warrant contained a charge relating to the espionage statute, and further, that some of the things claimed that to be looked for were nuclear, some type of very, it's a nebulous statement, but some type of nuclear secrets.
So part of what they announced, too, in that area was 11 sets of docs with information at the highest levels, potentially that nuclear information you were alluding to. When you hear that, and that is at this very unique residence where the president lives and others also go there and socialize, what stands out to you knowing the security associated with that?
Well, that's just it. I mean, look, when you're inside the government, things there are lots of mechanisms and lots of structure to how these things are guarded. For example, when we used to use top secret stuff in my squad area, I could have certain things out about and laying around when I was working on stuff. But when you had any kind of top secret stuff, those folders were always labeled red. They were all colored red, so they stood out. It was a separate locking filing cabinet. You had to take it out of there, look at it, and put it right back. You couldn't leave it around. You couldn't bring it to the copy machine. So inside government, we have a lot of mechanisms to ensure the safety and the integrity of the information. Outside, when these presidents leave office and all of them start their presidential library, most of them write their memoirs. I was at the Reagan Library here in Southern California recently giving a talk on the FBI. And so once they leave office, there's a lot of material that they take with them, and a lot of it's justified, and they're allowed to take that stuff with them. And it's their personal papers and things like that that then later reside in their library, in their presidential library. That's open to the public, and people can go and look at those things and stuff. However, apparently, often, and I don't think Trump's the first one, certainly, but oftentimes in the chaotic leaving of the White House, and we always know, especially when the parties are transitioning in power, there's a bit of chaos when the party is leaving the White House. Here, there may have been even more so because of the alleged contested election and things like that. And so I think that people leave the White House staff early because they want different jobs, and so you're left with a skeleton staff on those last days, and you're left with maybe some clerical staff that you don't even know that are tasked then with boxing up a bunch of this stuff and getting it out of there. Now, where it goes, every president is different. Now, Secret Service does provide protection for former presidents, but they don't provide guidance and things like that for the storage of those papers that the presidents are allowed to take. Now, in this case, obviously, there was papers that were taken that were should. Now, whether that was on purpose, whether it was accidental, that's all something the investigation will reveal. But like I said, this has happened before. There are routines. The National Archives people contacted Trump's people. There were ongoing negotiations. Some of the stuff was returned, some of it not. Investigators visited the Mar-a-Lago. They didn't kind of like where it was held. They said, can you put a padlock at least on that room? And that was done. So there's this thing where now the president is private citizen, but he's still kind of is allowed to, in his possession, have, you know, certain documents that were created during his presidency. And so, there is, you know, there's a concern. There's a concern that Mar-a-Lago was the target of, you know, foreign counterintelligence operations to get in there and to see what these documents held. And that's a concern.
What is interesting, and obviously we all need to wait for all the facts to come out, but the fact that there was dialogue, that there was some information which was returned, and there's now this well-known meeting on June where multiple outlets, are reporting that at least one Trump attorney said all the classified documents have been returned or have been identified. This is reported from multiple outlets. But then the new reporting and the new information which came out, not just reporting information came out, is this 11 sets of docs at the highest level. As a former FBI agent, and knowing you're right, there have been other presidents who've had to return information, but I don't remember any other presidents who had returned this type of information. How troubling is it to you that an attorney would sign off saying, yep, we've accounted for everything, and then the FBI would go to a magistrate, prove probable cause, get back in there, and come up with these type of documents?
It would be much more troubling to me if there was no prior dialogue. The fact that there was this back and forth, and I think it's going to come down to the water was very muddied, where the line was drawn as far as what was classified and what was not. Remember, in office, a president has the absolute power to declassify anything they want. And then apparently Trump had a standing order to declassify any certain things. And so, but whether he followed the declassification process is another matter. Now, in my reading, and I'm an attorney, in my reading of the Supreme Court cases that relate to this, and it's Department of Navy versus Edgar, I think, and his progeny, but the president has absolutely right, and the president can't really be charged with a crime if he, in fact, declassified things before. Now, I think it certainly could be a case where the Trump lawyers thought that this set of documents was declassified and it wasn't properly declassified, or it was and there was a misunderstanding or things like that. Now, when something gets classified, it gets stamped, it's getting marked, big, obvious stamps of classification. When it gets declassified, those stamps remain. In other words, you don't rip up that copy and make a new copy. The classification markings remain on the document, and then there should be additional unclass markings. This has been unclassified on a certain date. There are stamps. These are ink stamps type of things. And so if some functionary didn't carry out their job and didn't mark those things declassified, they could still have been declassified. That's what the investigation is probably looking at now. Timelines, they're interviewing people. Were you tasked with marking these for declassification? Were these documents shown to you? You know, the nefarious side is that they were trying to hide this stuff, that they did a shell game. When the investigators came in June, they showed them some documents, but not all the documents, and they were hiding stuff. And, you know, I do find it a little bit out there that to say that Trump was probably looking to sell these. This guy's a multimillionaire, probably a billionaire, to sell these for financial gain or for power. I think if he was a Russian asset, he probably would have done this while he was in power in the White House, while he was an occupant and had much more control and power over these things. I don't really attach a nefarious thing. It is concerning that these things made it down there and that it took both the National Archives and the FBI this long to kind of get to this point. It's troubling because if, in fact, these allegations are true, I want to know the timeline of when they were in receipt of this information, when they thought nuclear information was down there, and why they didn't act on it much more quickly, because the delay from June to August, an election year with a very important midterm election coming up, could provide fodder for people that see it on the opposite side that say, hey, you're putting your thumb on the scale of the political process here. We're 90 days out. The Justice Department normally has a policy not to take even remotely political moves or things that could be considered a political 90 days out from an election. And so that I would need to see why the urgency, when they received this information, why they thought it needed to be done in this way at this time.
We'll pause at this point. More with former FBI agent Bobby Chacon is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline in seconds on WCCO. Part two with former FBI agent Bobby Chacon. There are some who say, because of some of this information at its top secret level, that it wouldn't matter if any president had declassified these documents. And he still, because of the rarity of these documents and their import, he still will be facing certain charges with the Espionage Act. Do you think that is true?
It may be true. And like I said, I'm not a DOJ attorney who spent years with these statutes. I just read the Supreme Court line of cases over the weekend that relate to this stuff. It doesn't seem to me. Now, the obstruction charge is three charges in the warrant, right? The obstruction yep. charge for sure can be attached. Yes. And there's no question a president can obstruct, and that's been proven. And that's settled. The other stuff is a bit more unsettled as far as what they can charge them with. And remember, they've never said, and they obviously wouldn't say that Trump is a target of this investigation. Somebody else could be even targeted. We could be looking at staff members as subjects of this investigation. We could be looking at attorneys, some of his attorneys on staff that could have handled this information. And we could obviously be looking at Trump himself. We don't know who the actual target of the investigation is. You know, you need that intent.
Well, let me jump in on that, Bobby. They wouldn't mm-hmm. go to Mar-a-Lago in this way if it was just other staffers. They had to have a story, to have a decision of this level and the criminal implications and the public implications, they have to be going after the former president, right? They can't be going after other staffers and go to Mar-a-Lago, can they?
No, I mean, obviously, the majority, I would agree with you. I think it's more likely than not they are looking at the former president, sure. But I also think there could be other staffers involved. But my bigger concern is that the evidence that they had, if they want to charge the charges that are listed on the warrant, they had that evidence back in February. When they removed 11 or 13 or 15 boxes, much of which contained, top secret stuff even then, and that's when the attorney said, I think this is all of it, and then they came back in June and there was even more stuff, right? So I think that in itself is the crime, right? You already have the fact that you retrieved those boxes, they shouldn't have been there if you wanted to charge it as a crime. And I'm sure they're looking at, like, intent. What was the intent? If this, you don't want to prosecute a former president if it was a mistake and his staff just put a bunch of stuff in boxes they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so that's probably why they were back in June and said, hey, look, well, you didn't give us all of it. There's more or whatever, because some of the stuff we received in February is missing stuff. There's stuff that's in these files that's missing. So we know they must be back left behind. So back in June, they go again. They get some more of it. Then sometime between June and now, they must somehow receive information through a source or whatever, which we can inform it, that they didn't get all of it, unless they gleaned it from the information that they got in June, like they did in February. Somebody told them you still didn't get all of it. And so the concern is, now we're talking about a third time. Why do we have to go back a third time? What is going on with, I have to think that in June, they looked at that room. That's when they realized they wanted a more secure lock on it. That means they probably had access to go through all of the boxes that were in there in that room. And what may have happened, to drive them back is that maybe there's another room they weren't told about, or maybe there's another place they weren't told about. And that'll be in the affidavit that supported the search warrant, right? Because then if not, then it begs the question, why didn't you find this stuff in June? Why are you back in August? And so what transpired between June and August mm-hmm,
sure.
to tell you that you either missed stuff or you weren't told about stuff that's still there. That's going to be a very interesting part of this story. What happened between June and August, it should be in that affidavit that an FBI agent swore to swear out that warrant. It should be in there. The information that they received specified that says, this is why we believe the stuff is there, you know, and the why is because someone told us, or something else. But usually that's the most direct way. So really, it's going to be very interesting to see what transpired between June and August to make them want to go back with such urgency and to use this. In other words, not to pick up a phone and say, hey, we want to come back. We missed stuff or there's some more stuff. They must have felt like that would have been fruitless, that we've already been back once and we didn't get it all. So what the heck is going on and why aren't they giving us everything? And why are we, we're not going back a third time. We're just going to go in there and take everything back.
Bobby, that was a lengthy conversation with Bobby Chacon because we had two more questions and Bobby's answers were very long, including his reaction to the criticism of the FBI. But we're limited on how much time we have. And we played about 15 and a half minutes there. So good guest. And we'll still continue to have Jimmy Galliano on because he is outstanding also. Linda's construction time check is 1:57. Time to invest in clog-free Leaf Guard brand gutters for your home. The great, the fantastic Patrick Roycey, 2:35 on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.